Hi, homies. Hope you're having a good time in 2024. Or if you're listening to this in the future, I hope that I'm a lot thinner and somehow learned how to grow my hair back. Gang, today I'm going to do something a little bit different. I've got an interview with a gigantic name in the entertainment business. And the reason why I'm entertaining him is not because I think that the rest of you out there are all superstars, tops of your field, making a gazillion dollars. No, I'm doing this because this is an interview with a buddy of mine named Brian Friedman. And sure, today he's a director, producer, creative director on shows that you have seen, I guarantee it. Anything big and exciting in the world, especially having to do with dance, because he's a choreographer to the stars, danced with everybody you've ever heard of. I'm not doing this because I believe that listeners out there all feel like this guy at the top of their game. No, I'm doing this because Brian is still out there teaching. He's an educator first, and that is always exciting to me. He's got tons of dance students all over the country that look up to him, and he has advice for buying your first home. Now, Brian gets into his personal stories, and of course, not all of us have his million-dollar numbers like he does. But the point that he makes over and over again is that he wishes, just like I did, that he had started much, much sooner. And he's telling all of his students, kids at 16, 17 years old even, that the minute you get out there and you start working and you start renting, his advice is to start building your wealth. What gets me most excited about this is, if you are someone who wants to do something creative with your life, be an entrepreneur, or follow the creative arts, stuff that's very near and dear to my heart, the best way you can do that is to be financially secure. And the easiest way to be financially secure is to realize that the minute you start renting full time and you're able to pay those bills over and over again, take Brian's advice and get into home ownership as soon as possible, so you don't end up at the national average for first-time homebuyers at 35 years old. How about you start that journey at 25? And what's great is Brian also talks about, if you have a free spirit, if you have a wanderer's heart and you want to move, there are plenty of ways to keep that home and get renters in there so you can continue to keep your process growing, but you don't have to feel tied down to one place. Again, I'm so humbled and honored that Brian Friedman, giant, a superstar in the entertainment industry, is here to share with you his story and, most importantly, his passion and education that to this very day, he still passes on to his students as young as 16 to 20 years old. Hey homies, a quick interruption before I start the episode because I have some majorly exciting news. The How to Buy a Home podcast and me, your host, David Sidoni, we're going on the road. Come and get your questions about home buying answered from me directly, live and in person. And our first stop is Dallas, Texas. Yeah, baby, it only took me 5 years, but the unicorns are finally bringing me out on the road, and I'm going to be live in Dallas on Monday, April 1st. And no, this is not an April Fool's joke. This is real. This is legit. I am literally, used correctly, coming to Dallas for a live event on Monday, April 1st. It's free, and there'll even be some refreshments out there, so you can save some money on dinner, because I know you're all on a budget trying to save up for a down payment and closing costs. To get the information, email info@howtobuyahome.com, put Dallas in the subject. That's info, like information, info@howtobuyahome.com, put Dallas in the subject. We're taking the revolution to the people. It is time to discuss the new rules for how to buy a home in 2024. And guess what? I'm actually going to stick around in Dallas, and if you can't make it or you're not in Dallas, the next day, Tuesday, April 2nd, me and JT, who maybe you've heard in the background on the podcast, we're going to be doing a YouTube Live. So that's for everybody in North America the very next day, 6 p.m. Central Time, Tuesday, April 2nd. That's going to be on my YouTube channel at How to Buy a Home. Q&A live with me. If you've got questions about either one of these, email info@howtobuyahome.com for questions. Again, Monday, April 1st, live in person in Dallas. If you can't make that, the next night, Tuesday, April 2nd, Q&A on YouTube at How to Buy a Home. Come see me live in Dallas or online on YouTube, and let's talk about how you can do this. Email info@howtobuyahome.com. What's happening, homies? I'm very excited to let you know that today we have something a little bit different than what we usually do. As those of you who listen to all my terrible musical theater references within the podcast know, I am a theater boy. And that's where I came from. And one of my missions, besides helping just first-time homebuyers, is helping the creative people in both America and Canada get stable with their life. And I am so lucky and so humbled. This guy is gigantic. As far as people in the entertainment industry goes, this is my friend Brian Friedman that I have known for years. We're not going to say. Decades. And he's a gigantic producer, creative director, and choreographer. And for those of you millennials out there, you probably know Brian because he danced in every video that was your favorite back in the day. And I mean all of them. So Brian, welcome to the How to Buy a Home podcast. Did you ever think that your career as a creative director and a producer on some of the biggest television shows, movies, and all that would lead you to a podcast to help people buy their first house?
I definitely didn't think that would happen, but stranger things have happened. I'm one of those people that never really anymore plans things out. I love to just go in the door that opens in front of me because you never know where it's going to take you.
That's awesome. So for those of you guys out there, just Google up Brian Friedman and you'll see what a stud he is in the industry now. We've been friends forever. He was really close with my wife for a long time in the choreography community. And my wife was the smart one in our relationship who bought a house on her own. Single ladies. Did you know, Brian, it's the highest, fastest spiking demographic in homeowners? Single women.
I am not surprised. Women are smart.
Hell yeah. So we try to help people figure out how to do this and how to make it possible. One of the big things about buying a home, I see so many people like I did in LA from when I was 91 to 98, when I was 21 to 28, I kept renting because I said, oh God, what if I get a gig in New York? But I always laugh. Who knows more people to sublet a place than us actors in our 20s, right?
True.
So how do you see a mortgage fitting into someone's life where rents are skyrocketing? Even if you don't have necessarily boring banker W-2 income, because we have a lot of self-employed people and a lot of creative people. Now, we were talking before we started recording. When did you start figuring out, oh, crap, I should do this and stop renting your sweet pad wherever it was?
Yeah, for me, earlier on in my adult career, because I had a child career as well, and as a kid, that money was just being saved, and I ended up using up that money, that kid money, on a bunch of different things by the time I was an adult. I didn't go to college. That was not my journey. So I went through my broke young adult years, and then I would start booking commercials, which was a beautiful thing. And the thing that you want the most, I would think that's what I wanted the most, because those residuals would come rolling in, and it was the gift that kept on giving. So I saved up my commercial money, and I didn't really know what I was saving it for. It wasn't my intention to buy a home. I was just excited that my bank account was growing, and I was maybe in my early 20s, which is still actually very young. And a friend of mine, Kevin Stay, who is also a performer in the industry, who is always very savvy when it came to everything, whether yes. It was fashion and film and art and music. He was the person that seemed the most cultured to me. And he also didn't put a cap on his career in terms of what he could do. He also worked with you and I when I was a kid. So this is someone who I met right in the beginning of my career. And I just loved how he sort of diversified into different areas. And I saw that as something that I wanted to do for myself. So he ended up asking me, what's your plan? Are you buying a house? What are you doing with your money? And I was thrown off by this because I didn't come from a home where my parents really talked about finances and taxes and just all of these life skills that really should be taught in school, but weren't taught to me. So I was intrigued and said, basically, I know nothing. And, you know, you feel stupid to ask those questions. You feel like you should know these things. So you don't really want to go and ask someone. But luckily, he did come to me and talk to me about this. And he said, I think you should have a financial advisor. That was someone that will come in and talk to you about your money and your different options of things you can do with your money, whether it's putting it into an IRA Roth, a 401k, all of these different things for a retirement plan. And this was all completely foreign to me. And he did hook me up with someone, came over to my house, looked at my portfolio, which I'm like, what's my portfolio? What's that? So we over everything, and he started putting me on a really smart plan, and that planted that seed of, I can buy a house. I didn't really think I was ready. I didn't think I was old enough. I didn't think it was possible. Luckily, this happened in a great time in Los Angeles. It was 2001, I want to say, when I bought. And I remember that I was looking everywhere. I had this really expensive taste, and because I traveled and I had been traveling the world for the past years as a dancer, and I saw the best hotels and I was seeing the best architecture, and I would take pictures of everything. So when I got this bug to buy a house, I was going through all of my photos and I'm thinking, I don't want to buy anything that I'm seeing. I want something that looks like my dream home. So my contractor slash realtor slash person that I ended up suing, because I have a really bad first buying experience, which I'm sure we'll get into, he said, well, let's just remodel your house. And I loved that idea. I thought I can design exactly what I want. And we did that. My parents nearly died when I told them how much I was buying it for, because it just seemed like such a big dollar amount. And now in hindsight, this was pennies. But I ended up selling it, even after everything I put into it, for a really great price. And I made a lot. I got a lot of equity out of that house. So that was my sort of intro to buying homes. And like I said, I probably wouldn't have done it then if it weren't for someone really planting that seed in me. And I'm one of those rare, unusual people, because I had the money before the bug hit me to buy a house. So it was financially possible for me, because I had been saving for years, not to buy a house, but just saving my money so that I did have that down payment when it came time.
Well, and see, what's cool is that I have so much personal information that I know about this, and so much of what you're talking about relates. That was did you know that was the same year that my wife Tina bought the house, 2001?
No, I didn't. It was my year.
Yeah. Now, she's my age, so we were 31 when we bought that. So even though you feel like, okay, I'm in a unique situation, I had the money, the average age of the first-time home buyer in 2022 was 36, and last year it was 35. So there are a lot of people listening that have had 6, 7, 9 years of savings. Now, you just happen to get it all in a big chunk in your 20s. So there are people that are in the same boat as you, even though they're not in the crazy industry where we make boatloads of money real quick.
Yeah. And I think you hit the nail on the head when you said that you didn't want to buy because what if? And there is this thing, as a performer, you're worried, okay, well, I might be going on tour. I might get this job. I may have to travel. I don't really want to have the upkeep of a home. I'd rather just rent. And I tell all of my friends, all of my students that I mentor, people young and old, just do it. Like, go now. You are wasting money on rent. And there are people I know that are in my age, in their 40s, close to 50s, even some in their 50s, who still don't own. And it makes me sick thinking of how much money they have spent on rent. Like millions of dollars, $1 million at least on rent. And it's just insane to me. But there's a fear and this stigma about artists, and that you don't make enough money, and you're so worried that you're going to purchase and then not have money to keep your home.
I'm censoring myself because I have some things I'll tell you off air about people that I knew who were in their 50s back in the day that Tina used to go get her music edited in their little two-bedroom apartment in North Hollywood. And I'm like, wait a minute, you are how old? And nowadays, $2,000 is the average two-bedroom rent. Now, metro areas and places like that, $4,000-$5,000. But that's $24,000 a year. And I love that you're telling people do it now. There really is a stigma among the creative people that what happens? What do I go? Next thing you know, you've been there 3 years and you've put $75,000 into something that you get no return. The big thing I talk about on the podcast is rents have gone up so much, even from when we were renters, that right now you have to create a rent replacement strategy. You're not buying a house. You have to figure out how to take your biggest financial thing and put it into something that works for you. Part of this giving back thing that I'm doing, and I think that's the reason why, you know, you said, sure, David, I'll do this. You are one of my favorite people in the business because you and I can sit and dish all night long, but you have a heart of gold and you are such a good person. You've always been so kind to me and to Tina and everybody I've known, and you're a big mentor right now. Yet, even a mentor, we have to know our limitations. Like you were talking about on the show, I say all the time, ignorant is not a dirty word. It has such a negative connotation. So you got great advice from our buddy Kevin, but then you missed the piece of the puzzle that I'm trying to get people. You have to have the good realtor too. So now let's hear the dirt. Tell us the crappy story.
I was introduced to this guy who I loved his energy because he was a go-getter and he was speaking my language in terms of what I wanted to find, and he schmoozed me is what I'll say. And we looked at a bunch of different homes. We found the home. He was like, yes, we can do what you want. Yes, this has great bones. I was just listening to him. I didn't know anything. And I wasn't aware that you couldn't actually be the head contractor and the realtor. And he was the head contractor. He didn't hire anyone. I signed my design deal with him. I had a contract. We did the full renovation. I moved into the house and my next door neighbor complained about my garage, which had been turned into a guest house. I had the doorbell ring and they said, excuse me, we've gotten a call. We need to look in your garage. And I was like, sure, great, come on in. And they then proceeded to tell me that I was hit with fines. I had to gut it, take it out. And if I wanted it to be that, I had to go and do all of the proper permit pulls. I had to go and do a zone variance change so that I could make my parking in my driveway. I was at the city. I was having to do town hall meetings because they had to make my whole community vote whether it was okay for this to happen. It was just an ordeal. I ended up finding out that legally he couldn't have acted as my contractor and my realtor. I found out that he was not licensed in the state of California to do the work that he was doing. We ended up suing him. I was in court. He hid all of his assets. I basically got nothing back for that. And in the end, it cost me probably about $75,000 to $100,000 in new renovation and all of the permits and the legal fees. And it was one of those things where I just knew nothing. I was naive going into it. And now I help out anyone who is remodeling homes, making sure that everyone is licensed and bonded. Just making sure that they are very aware of all of the things that can happen. Even someone who knows everything. It's happened to me again. I got scammed. I remodeled my parents' home and the licensed and bonded contractor stole $100,000 and disappeared and fled. And we ended up filing a suit with the ROC. And we had our day in court and he had to pay us $98,000 with 5% interest every month, but he isn't paying. And when they find him, he will get arrested and get taken in and he'll have a bail and then he'll have a new payment plan. So this has been going on for 5 years. You can protect yourself all you want, but there are a lot of sketchy people out there who are trying to make money and take advantage of people. And that happened right at the beginning of COVID. So people were struggling and doing what they had to survive. So no ill will, but you really have to look out for yourself because there are a lot of bad people out there.
Well, it's interesting because so much of what I'm trying to do to explain to the creative people is we have to protect ourselves And I'm finding that a lot of people think if they do a deep dive online, like they'll seriously research buying a home for 2 hours on a Saturday afternoon and then call me and tell me everything that they know and how wrong I am, which is just hysterical. And I'm like, honestly, I've been doing this for 18 years right now. And if you haven't bought a home in the last 4 weeks, forget last 4 months or 4 years, like you don't know what's happening right now in the market. So for the younger people that you talk to and you end up mentoring, there are those scary things. If they end up with the right realtor, the right team representing them, expand upon what you were talking about earlier. Like, why do you tell a young person who wants to maybe, if they got a job on a cruise ship for a year or they got an international tour, why would you recommend to them buying a home versus renting when they're young? I guess it's what you said, millions of dollars, right?
I have students of mine that I've mentored that have bought their homes as early as 17 and 18 now from money that they made when they were kids. And I believe that if they have positive role models that are in their same career path and they saw what they did with their life, that they see that that's their trajectory as well. And I didn't have those people really, with the exception of Kevin. He had a home. I know that he owned a house, but I wasn't thinking about it for myself. But it's being planted as a seed in these young kids' minds that that is the goal as an artist. And that's what I try and teach them, is that's the most important thing that you can do, is buy your home. That's the first thing you buy. You save up for that so that you're not wasting your money on rent. I mean, if you're going to be away on tour anyways, and most of these people do keep their apartments when they're on tour. So it's not like I'm on tour, so I'm just not going to pay rent and I'm going to be on the road. People do that. There's some that just give up their apartment because they know they're going on a big tour and they put their stuff back at their parents' house. But I am just a firm believer of have something making money for you. It's going to be this mountain that continues to build that will support you later in life. That equity that just keeps constantly going into the home, that's your nest egg. That's your retirement. I mean, and also your retirement fund. But especially in our industry where we are not covered and we are not completely taken care of. And I speak more from a choreographer standpoint. I am not in front of the camera anymore. So I don't really have now we have Choreographers Guild, so slightly different. It's a new baby. But I've spent the majority of my career, actually all of my career as a choreographer and creative director, without a union support, without my money going to health and pension, without anything actually working for me and for my future. So the only thing that I've ever relied on are these funds that I've set up myself, my 401k and my homes. And that's, I've bought two houses. Well, I have two properties and I have moved into three of my own homes and sold them. And every time I have, I've leveled up. I never thought that that house that I bought in North Hollywood in 2001 for $320,000 would actually be able to have been sold for $850,000 in 2013. And that I would be able to move into a $900,000 house that year. And then I would be able to sell that home in 2021 for $1.6 million. And then move into a $1.75 million property where I'm at now, which is 5,000 square feet on an acre. You know, I was on this tiny little plot in North Hollywood. And the only reason I'm in this home I'm in now is because of that home in North Hollywood. So it's a bigger goal. It's a much longer term investment, but it's the best investment that I've ever made.
Well, what's interesting is you talk about the first one, 2001 to 2013, and it was 300 and you sold for 8 or 9 or something like that. Everybody out there, listen, that means he survived the huge worst recession crash ever and still made $500,000 selling the place. So, and that was just a 12-year plan. So if you're out there thinking about your starter place, if eventually, sure, you can buy a retirement home or your forever home like Brian did in Arizona, right?
Yeah.
Somewhere? Yeah, yeah.
And this is still not the forever home. It's the for now home. I absolutely love it. But that's the thing with homes, and buying a house is the most exciting and addictive process. I'm not ready to move right now because moving is exhausting. Once you do have your first home and you start accumulating everything, you're like, okay, my first house, I have a hammer. What you have after decades of homeowning, you got a lot of that you're hauling around. Sorry, you can beep that out. So I don't want to move anytime soon, but to know you can tick all these things off of your list is really exciting. And every time you buy a house, there's not going to be everything that you get on your list. There's a couple things you maybe can't get, or maybe sometimes it's a lot of you can't get. But for me, there's still things on that list that I want to check off. So I won't call it forever until I either build a dream home or move into the one that has everything.
Yeah, I always talk about the house as like a jigsaw puzzle. And when you're looking for homes, you're never getting every piece. You want to buy the house that has the least amount of pieces taken off the puzzle because you're never going to get the full thing. But the idea is, I tell people all the time on the podcast, I do everything at whatever the national average is, $400,000. I realize that in San Francisco and down here in Southern California and New York, people are talking 800 and a million, even for starter homes. And we have a lot of people that do that from the podcast. So there's a 50% version of what you did. And for all the people who are artists, the reason why this can happen now, it's rare that people have the wonderful career that Brian does because you're a stud. But if you pay $25,000 a year in rent when you're 21, well, if you were Brian's student and he mentored you and you, instead of that, got a low down payment, 3% down, when you're 25 years old and you're 27 years old, if your career stalls, if you're a dancer and you blow your knee out, if something happens, you have to get a real job if you're renting and living gig to gig. But if you have a home as a rent replacement strategy, then you're set. And that's the thing, Brian, by letting people figure out how to listen to this boring crap. I mean, thank God it was coming from Kevin because I know it had a little flair, but he really is smart. Like when you're like, whoa, but this allows artists to be creative longer. The more financially stable you are, then if you hit a slow year or if we hit a COVID, do you know how many of my live theater friends, all my Disney friends, like 2020, they were like, I don't know what to do, man, because their main gig was live entertainment at that time.
Yeah, for me, COVID was, it was the biggest blessing because I was able to stay home. And now this is, I love my home. I've created such a nest to be in, and it became my office. I was doing online throughout all of COVID. Thank God I had a nice home that I didn't have to deal with neighbors making noise if I was on an online class or a live or anything that was going on. I was able to do everything. My home turned into my office. It turned into my safe space. It was my everything. And I just kept saying how grateful I was that I had my house in that process, because I felt for all the people that were apartment living in a pandemic like that. You just didn't have the autonomy. You couldn't go out. You couldn't have places to be and breathe. So yeah, COVID for me was another huge eye-opening moment of how lucky I was to have my home.
I was talking to these people from Boston. I did an interview with them like 2 years ago. They're what you and I would call normies. Regular people, regular jobs. But during COVID, they were in a 700 square foot apartment and they were trying to do work remotely, like literally in the same, like opposite wall. They upgraded for the exact same price, like $3,500 a month, to not a huge place, a 1,200 square foot condo. But just having that extra room, the one guy, he quit his job and got another job so he could work remote. The remote working has really changed what a home is now. And for artists, it's a place to create. I mean, we had our guest room when Tina was still choreographing. One of them was a guest room for her assistants to stay, and the other room was a dance studio. Then we had kids, and it became a nursery.
The decision that I made to move out of LA was partially just because of how expensive LA is. And I knew I wanted to move out of the house I was in. We had outgrown it. It was either we have to do a full renovation to this property to make it what we want. I wanted a pool and we were in a mountain and it was going to cost $150,000 just to even start the idea of a pool. And I was like, that is not going to happen because I'm not going to get that return when I sell it. So we started looking. We looked everywhere in Los Angeles. We were looking deep out into suburbs in every direction. And it was just so damn expensive. And I was really upset with what I was getting. And I was looking on Zillow and Redfin constantly in other states. You know, my husband and I would travel and we were like, oh, well, what if we lived here? And then I'm like, I hate the airport. No, I travel too much. I don't want to go to that airport. So we had this sort of epiphany. Why don't we just move where my family is? Because we couldn't move where his family is because it gets really cold. It's freezing there in the winter. So we're like, no, let's do this. So we started looking in Arizona. And what we could get for our money for the same amount we would have been spending in LA, it was just a no-brainer. And for me, for work, I travel a lot. And there is this whole thing with artists and performers. You're like, well, I have to be right in there, in the heartbeat of it. But the truth is now, there are so many submissions that happen for jobs remote. You don't actually, yes, there are some that are live. And yes, if you want to be in classes and training, you have to be there. But I know a lot of professional dancers now that don't live in LA, choreographers that don't live in LA. They come in when they need to for work and they get to stretch their money so much more by not being in LA. So I'm experiencing that now and I've got a lot less anxiety. I'm a lot happier. I sleep a lot better and I don't feel like I'm spending as much.
That's a great segue. One of the things I want to talk with you about, you just said it all. There's multiple different levels with creatives that obviously we know about. I love the fact that we're sitting here talking about desperate years early in our 20s when even though you started early in your 20s, thanks to Kevin, and I started a little bit later, thanks to my wonderful wife, learn from our mistakes. And then realize once you get to a certain place, I can't tell you how many big time actors and big time performers I know who are in Austin, who are in Nashville. My friend's on tour with Taylor Swift and she moved to Nashville. She's from Long Beach in Southern California. And she's like, see ya. There are options for that remote creative living. And then stay nice to the people in New York and LA. And when you want to go take class for a month, couch surf.
Exactly. I mean, that's me. I thought, okay, so maybe I'm going to get a house in Arizona and I'm going to get a condo in LA. And to cut my money and looking at what I was going to get, I'm like, absolutely not. So I stay on my friend's, well, not couch, but she has a guest room and he allows me to stay there. And it's been 2 years now since I left and I'm at her place whenever I need to be. And she lets me be there and I help out and I do what I can, but it's just really nice to have a nest somewhere where it's a little less chaotic.
That's another good lesson for all you artists out there. Be the nicest person on every gig. Tina and I help people out a lot here in Southern California because my family is here. That's why we stayed. And now my kids, thankfully, people call us because we were always nice. And you've always been a good guy. And so you can call people and be like, hey, do you mind if I stay? And it's just, it's smart to look at all. It's the options that we're talking about. You don't have to be, have your resume and be at your level. I always tell people, if you're an actor in LA, when I was 21, got the movie that we did together. But then after that, I was auditioning and I was doing stuff. I never dreamed I could buy a house. But I tell people, are you the kind of person who's ever going to get evicted? If you're never going to get evicted, if you're always figuring out a way to pay your rent, then all you need to do is come up with a 3% down payment and buy a place. People are like, oh, I can't do it. And I'm like, yeah, you can. Are you ever on the street? Like, no way. Worst comes to worst, you know, have three people stay over and all your dancer and actor friends and they pay a few $100 a month. So, yeah. Well, that's awesome. I love to hear that you're still mentoring people. And I'm going to bring my video crew one time. Because we've got some great people that are working for the podcast for me. Find you at a convention. I want to tape some kid's eyes. Some 17-year-old kid that knows you, that is excited to be working with you. When you pull them aside and go, okay, let's talk about your finances.
Well, and it's funny. It's not even the 17-year-olds. They're like, because my assistants now, my main two assistants who travel with me, they are 21 and 24, 25. So they're adults, but what I'm finding in these days are people at that age are further behind than we were when I was that age. And I don't know if it has to do with COVID. I don't know if it just has to do with the state of the world, but they're a little bit more fearful to jump into whether it's their careers or their finances. I feel that they're just a little bit more timid now. So yeah, I want to push them.
That's why I wanted to talk to you, because I see the same thing with artists. I don't want to sound like an old man here. I am so glad that we have progressed as a society away from the 50s and 60s ideals of the way that things need to be done. But I'll tell you what, every once in a while, Tina and I are like, these people could use a little kick in the ass, you know? But we have to remember, we have to be empathetic. And remember, many of them saw their parents get screwed in 2008, 9, 10, and 11, and then they had COVID. So we have to help explain to them, if you want to continue being an artist, there are small things you can do. If buying a house is too big, cool. Listen to the podcast and I'll teach you how to do baby steps for 6 months. And if you can do that and you're not getting evicted, then you should start thinking about buying a house next year. If you don't believe me, Brian said so.
That part.
I love it. Brian, thank you so much. This is words of wisdom from a super successful individual. And I think it's hysterical that after all these years, we're like the old guys. Listen up, kids. This is what you got to do. I love it.
Never thought it would happen. I still feel like I am 16, but I'm not.
Because you still look 16, but hey, that's all right.
I am around 16-year-olds all the time. I have no choice but to... young with them, and I never stop moving, so I feel like that does keep me young. That and the Botox and filler and beard dye and wig.
Love that. Oh, have I shown you mine? See my scars? That was
funny. Oh.
That was from the old days.
Wait, what?
Uh-huh.
No, you did that?
We'll talk offline.
You did that?
Yep. Yep.
Wow, I'm glad I didn't.
No.
I didn't go that route.
That was 90s, buddy. It was caveman technology.
So. Yeah, well, I'm still not trying to have anyone mess around with my head. I don't like pain.
Oh, I passed out. Needles.
We're good.
I love those of you. Rewind the last 30 seconds and send an email to info@howtobuyahome.com if you think you know what the hell we're talking about. Thanks, everyone. Thanks to Brian. Brian, stick around. You guys, I'll do a quick little wrap up. And artists, remember, if you want to continue doing your art and you want to continue being that creative person, I hate to say it, but at some point you got to do that responsibility thing. Just a little bit, and it doesn't take much. Listen to all the episodes on the podcast. And if you want to, reach out to me directly, because you guys are my life. I need something to go to in the next 20 years. I want to come pay to see your stuff. Thanks. See you, Brian. Well, a huge, huge thanks. I have so much gratitude to Brian for taking the time to talk to you guys. I wanted to make sure that you understood that maybe you are a creative out there who just wants to pursue and follow your dreams. Awesome. Do that. But keep in mind, you can follow your dreams and, most importantly, financially prepare yourself. In fact, you can financially fund your dreams by spending money on yourself for something you're already going to spend money on. I know, broken record. I say this every single episode, but now you got to hear from one of the biggest names in the entertainment business who tells every single person that he runs into, hey, not go out and take more classes, study hard, but keep doing what you're doing, but get yourself some real estate. That's pretty impressive. Giant thanks to Brian. And of course, if you want more information, go to howtobuyahome.com. Check out the How to Buy a Home podcast on Instagram, on TikTok, and on YouTube. This podcast has a mission, and the mission is to help everybody live their best lives. I want you to do whatever it is that you want to do. And hey, take it from Brian and take it from me. I was an artist. I was a creative person in my 20s, but I didn't know what I know now. I should have bought a home. I wasted over $100,000 in rent, and that was 1990s dollars. So I'm telling you right now, follow your dreams and realize once you've got, I don't know, maybe a part-time gig to pay your rent, if you can do that, maybe you should do the math and look into buying a home. Thanks again to Brian and everyone out there. Keep listening, keep watching, write a review. Helps the podcast a lot because I want to help people follow their dreams. because I believe you can do this.